Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah to Jesus. He said He will bring you into what? All truth. That simply means you should bank on the Holy Spirit to know the truth of God's word. Not on any man or woman. See, we can be teaching you, but if you are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, you will know when He's wrong and when He's right. You know what I'm trying to say? The Bible says the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that this is the word of God. Are you guys following me? But you know, many people are not aware of this possibility in God. Many people are banking on what somebody else will say. Their faith is shaky because they are following. Now, what if you see the example I just laid? Right today, wrong tomorrow. Right today, wrong tomorrow. Right today, wrong tomorrow. Amen. Right today, wrong tomorrow. And all of a sudden, you now observe, because I'm trying to get some, copying something somewhere. All of a sudden, can I have 3 followers here? 3 followers there. Just 3. So these are His people, and these are His people. If you observe, these people are not only the ones having problem alone on media. Do you observe? These people too are having problem. So when you say your own and you say your own, then this one says own. So you observe the preachers, then the followers are having issues. Are you people get on trying to explain? But sometimes it reaches insults. And it's a very sad reality. Now imagine this man is right and wrong, right and wrong. And you people are following him. So keep on following. He's right today. Go by your right, go by your left, you know. As he's going left and right, people should be following. You see how your life will be? It will not have magnitude. Because there's no magnitude here. Is there magnitude? No magnitude, no direction, not even a scalar nor a vector quantity. Follow me carefully. Even me, I don't know where I'm going to. But I know I'm going somewhere. I'm just flowing with the Spirit. You know the song we sang? We flow where the river flows. Do you know the end? You are just following. But one thing the Holy Spirit is that He will not carry you to where you don't know. The Bible says He will carry us to an expected end. Amen. The end is always peace. It's always nice. So, you see, they are following Him and their life is going like that. Their life is going like that. And you know, let us try to borrow something so fast from Luke 6 about false doctrine. From verse 46. What did the Bible say about false doctrine? From verse 46. Firstly, it said, they call me Lord, Lord, but they don't do the things that I say, isn't it? That goes further to 46 first. Then, let's just build on that. I want everybody to read in the NKJV. But they are not hearing me. Media, don't allow Satan to use you. He said, but why do you call me what? Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Please listen to me carefully. Next part of scriptures, it says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. That means if you hear somebody, if you see somebody that hears the word and does the word, hears the word and what? Does the word. God is saying, let me show you who that person is like. Next part of scripture. It says, he is like a what? Man building a house. Who what? Dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was what? So why will the person not shake? Is it because the person is very sincere and cries so much? Why would the person not shake? He dug the ground, found his house where? On the rock. And who is the rock here according to scriptures? Christ Jesus. But remember, we're talking about ideologies. He dug the ground, built his house on the right ideology, the right mindset, the right knowledge. And that's why when the flood of life beat him so vehemently, what will happen? Of course, you understand what house here means. Talking about your righteousness, founded upon Christ, the right mentality, the right knowledge. If life comes so tough on you, the Bible says you will not be shaken. Why? Because your house or your righteousness is built where? On the rock. Not because you were sincere, remember. Not because you were telling God, God, I don't want to sin, please help me. That's not it. You can cry all you want to cry, but if you are not founded on the rock, you will falter. I even get what I'm trying to say. Now, see the first importance of knowledge. That is why we can't joke with knowledge. That is why Paul will send people to go to certain cities. You know, when Paul was doing that, I wonder how people are seeing. When preachers read that, I wonder how they see it. That Paul would tell Timothy, go to a place. When you finish looking out for that church there and see if they are believing rightly, go to another place. He will send him to almost three cities to go and check the kind of things they are hearing, the kind of things that they know. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And what did he call a good minister of the gospel? He said, the one that will put them in remembrance of what is right. He told Timothy, he said, if you can put the church in remembrance of what is right, he said, then you are a good minister of the gospel. Send Timothy and all of his son Titus, all of them, to several places to go and guard the mentality of the church. You know, Paul says something in the book of Acts. He said, I know when I leave, Satan will send what? Can you remember? He will send what? What? I'm amazed. Huh? Hey. We always say the scripture. What will Satan say? Huh? Grievous what? He said they will come and miss you and they will come and turn you away from the right mentality. He was aware. He said, the reason why Satan cannot come now is because I am there. He said, I know when I leave, he will send them to come. Are you people seeing something here? He will what? Send them to come. Now, Satan is very interested in the church beyond you, how you even think. You see that? Paul is saying, I know standing in this church, I'm a guard for your souls. But I'm very sure the moment I step my leg out, Satan will send some people to come and get you confused. Little wonder in Galatians 3:3, say, O ye foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you from the truth? So having begun in the spirit, you want to end in the flesh? You see that? And one thing with Satan is that many people think Satan will come as obvious wrongs. Because black, the opposite of black should be white. No! A lot of times Satan will not come as obvious wrongs. He will come as almost right. He will come disguised like something you think is okay. He told Eve, you would not truly die. He was not against God's ideology entirely. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, you will not truly die. What will happen is that your eyes will be opened. He described death in another dimension, in another way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you see, look, if you look at Galatians 3 now, the problem is not that the people went off the faith entirely, is that they are trying to build their righteousness on sinking sand by the works of the flesh. And Satan was like, they are being bewitched. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So that simply means if you are living on a false doctrine, it is a devil that is controlling your life. It means Satan can send such ideologies today to into the church to make sure that you are just almost off the truth. And if you are almost off the truth, you are out of the truth. Kenneth Hagin said, 99% truth, 1% lie makes the entire truth a lie. I remember years ago when I heard this, I said, who can know the word of God 100% true? Then the Holy Spirit said, you can know, and everybody can know who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, the Holy Ghost in us will what? Guide us into what? All truth. Somebody say all truth. You know, amazingly, you've heard people that say, nobody can know. I'm going to come to that, but let's just focus on this yet. Are you getting me?
Yes,
so as long as Pastor Joe is behind, let him go like this again so that they watch this last time. Forward. So lead them anywhere you want. You see, no direction, no magnitude. All right, it's okay. Are you seeing how it will be? But see what the Bible says when you know the truth. Let's see Ephesians 4 and 14. See what the Bible says. That we will no longer be what? Children. Funny enough, God left everything at the mercy of men and the Holy Spirit. But he said that we will no longer be children tossed what? To and fro and carried about with what? By what? In the what? Of what? Let's see how we built and got to this place. 11, from verse 12, everyone should read. Some of you are not reading. You lack oxygen, or you want to lack. So if you don't want to lack, let's read. Want to go. So who are given for the equipping of the saints? You know what is in 11, right? The fivefold ministry, the gift of men. Next part of scripture. It then says, till we all, and of what? To a what? To the what? Ooh, to the measure. It said, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Alright? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see that? Next part of scripture. It said, when you come to this place, then you will not be what? Children. Tossed to and fro. And carried about with what? By what? In what? Wow, I'm seeing a difference in even in that second part. I never saw it like that. It said, firstly, you'll be tossed to and fro. Then he now said, and carried about with. You'll be tossed to and fro, like Pastor Joe was tossing them to and fro. Not just that. Come again, two of you, Pastor Phil and Pastor Joe. Let's try to do something. Imagine this center rock to be rock. Rock. It even has the color of rock. So if you stand here now, no matter the wind that comes, according to Luke 6, what happens? If it beats on you vehemently, you will not fall because you are on the rock. So let's take for instance now. So much breeze is blowing. Alright? No, you'll be down. You'll be up. And breeze. Wah! Storm, everything, flood. Who will fall? Two of them are standing like normal human beings, but who will fall? Why will he fall? Is it because Pastor Phil is cuter than him? Is it because Pastor Phil has more hair than him? Is it because... Think of anything. No. Why? Because he's on the rock. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? That's what Jesus said. That if you're on the rock, the right mentality, nothing will happen to you. Life may be tough, but you'll still be standing strong. That's why the right mentality is important. And that's why Satan fights to make sure the wrong mentality is on your inside. Are you here? He fights. Everything is about mentality. If you have the wrong knowledge, you are finished. The Bible said the enemy is not omnipresence, like God Almighty who is omnipresent. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 13 that wherever God plants good seeds, he comes and he plants tares and he goes away. He is not omnipresent. But how does he seem like Satan is omnipresent? Have you ever thought about it? Because it seems like Satan is everywhere at the same time. Have you thought about it? Because the Bible says there's no temptation that is not common to man. He is almost tempting everybody almost at the same time. But he is not omnipresent. Why is he exhibiting that? Why does it seem like he's exhibiting that potential even though he is not it? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you people? The Bible says he plants tares when the good master plants seeds. Meaning he will go everywhere and plant the wrong mentality and go. Then he will sit in his chambers and everything will be doing as if, playing as if he's omnipresent. But he's not. He just planted the wrong mentality and he left. You know what has affected the church for years? Satan planted the wrong mentality and he went and slept. We are now using it. That thing has played as religion for years. We have traded that ideology from one generation to another. That's why we're having the same problem from one generation to another. Oh, dear Jesus. Are you people here tonight? So when somebody comes with light, not even Jesus did it and did not have problem. Jesus came to his own. The Bible says, his own received him not. That means if Jesus was in our days today, is in our days today, a lot of people will not buy into his ideologies. You know, some people think, how dare them reject Jesus? Oh, they are foolish. A lot of people are rejecting him today by rejecting his word, because he is his word. The word of God goes to certain denomination. That's false, that's false. That's how they rejected Jesus. No difference. That's how they rejected Jesus. Because what he brought seemed to negate what they've been hearing. So they call Jesus, in fact, they call him a prophet of Baal. A false prophet. Because he was saying things that they were not accustomed with. Things that they were not used to hearing. I mean, they saw so much fancy, some kind of wells that Jacob dug. Some kind of places where Abraham sat. They would just create an altar there and call it a place of the presence. And Jesus would come and begin to make jokes out of their religious decorum. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? For instance, the well, the woman by the well, she said, this well that our father Jacob, there are a lot of wells in the city, but that's the best. Because their father Jacob dug the well. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain? And Jesus will come there and say, why even drinking that water? If you know who is talking to you, you'll get the hell out of that place. And in fact, I can even dig a well in your heart. You will not need to come here. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why? Because she actually thought that was living water. She left her own well and came there to fetch living water. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? So Jesus just played with all of those things. The pool of Bethesda. You know, some people haven't taken those things important today. Not even Jesus saw that thing as important. You know, some people say they create pool and they steer it and they say, get into it and you'll be healed. That's so junk, because even the man that had leprosy, the last guy that was to be healed, somebody say, but miracles happen. Yes, but Jesus did not allow the last miracle happen. The strongest problem there was leprosy. So they all left. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And Jesus said, okay, not with pool Betsy that will this happen. Stand up and go home. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Yes, yes. For instance, the oil worked, but we can still heal you without oil. The handkerchief was a mantle I received in my church. It worked for me, but we can still lay hands on you without handkerchief and it will work. So throw the handkerchief away. Leave the pool of Bethesda. Leave those old traditions. And Pastor, it worked for me. It doesn't matter. It's not supposed to be decorum. The New Testament, all of those things have ended because Jesus is the object of everything that was pointing to him in the Old Testament. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So that it worked does not mean it should be used. By the jaw of a donkey, Samson killed over 1,000 Philistines. But when it was done, he threw it away. He didn't make a tradition out of it. You know what? The anointing came upon that jaw, yet Samson threw it away. The anointing came upon that Goya oil. You can use it to stir fry up. Yes, it came upon the handkerchief, clean sweat from it. Is it not funny that we still clean sweat with a handkerchief, even though it's a mantle? But somehow when the heat hit us very well, we still clean it and say, mantle. Hallelujah. How dare you use a mantle to clean your sweat? Christianity is not Babalawo tradition. Do you people get what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
You know, some in the New Testament now, they do a lot of funny things. I was watching a video today. Somebody carried horn. He put oil inside the horn. It's not just oil. They carried the horn the way Samuel did it in the Old Testament, because they didn't have the materials that we need to create bulls. They didn't know about bulls. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? You don't even understand what I'm saying. There was this thing, innovation that time. So what did they use? Horn. There are some things that didn't, you know, okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. You are doubting what I'm saying. But someone in the New Testament now, he's using a horn and he's putting oil inside. Instead of pouring the oil directly from, he's putting into, and he's trying to pour. He wants to do it exactly the way Samuel did it. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain. Exactly. He doesn't want to miss the code. My problem with this is that young people are watching. There are some that are watching like that, that a portal opened as they saw the horn, a portal opened. And their eyes saw into the third heavens. And they saw things that are not permitted to be said by humans. Humans are not supposed to see the things they see. How many of you have friends that have told you, I saw things that I can't tell you? They didn't say anything. Because if you understand that scripture, he said, I saw things that were not lawful to be said. Meaning the law guys would not like what he's about to say. He said some of them, they fought him. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He saw prostitutes in the holies of holies. The law guys don't like it. They were sitting with the Holy Spirit. They were sitting with God Almighty. Prostitutes. You didn't see, some of you don't even like it. You didn't catch what I'm trying to explain to you. Prostitute that will throw away. Jesus said, come unto me. He saw murderers receiving eternal life. He said, if I say this thing, the Lord guys will stone me. They tried to stone Paul. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Some of you, even in your fellowship, even on campus, there are some people you've driven out from the fellowship because they are corrupting other people. So, you are the people Paul is saying, if he says this thing to you, you would not like it. How can fellowship be corrupted? Fellowship corrupts the corrupted. Light ends darkness. There's one sister that is deceiving brothers in this fellowship. Those people are not brothers. They are just stones. Yeah. They are human things. One sister finished 10 brothers. Your faith is at the mercy of his sister. We are light. Are you listening to me? We are light. You see, we can take preventive measures to an extent while we are raising you up. But we are not raising you up to be eternally scared of darkness. For instance, if I'm raising Donald up, I can give him some instructions because I know where he's coming from. So I'll tell him, don't go back to those friends. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? At the initial. But I'm not raising him up to it so that as when he comes to know Christ, anytime he sees bad people, he'll be running away from them. No! That's religious light that is scared of darkness. Are you listening to me? We are not called to isolate ourselves from the world. We are called to infiltrate the world. We are light of the world. So when we enter, there is light. We take over darkness. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. Paul said, I heard things that when I said, the religious minds will not accept it. But if you misunderstand it, you start having encounters and saying, I say things, I saw things in the spirit. God said, I should just don't tell earthly people. It's a lie. Because the God that will allow you to see the holies of holies, the curtains were torn. Men had access to the holies of holies. What is he hiding? He's showing you what we call Kabod in Hebrew, Doza in the Greek. Kabod simply means the weightiness of God's presence. My spiritual father many years ago says, when you weigh God on a scale, what do you get? Just like when you weigh Richard on a scale, you see 80 kg. That's all that Richard, that's everything about Richard. He weighs 80 kg. It's like putting God on a scale and checking the weight. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Everything about God is what we call Kabod, the glory. Everything about God. The Bible said the curtains were torn into two, men saw the glory from afar. They saw everything about God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? In the Old Testament, you behave nice to get God. But in the New Testament, you get God to behave nice. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, makes a lot of sense, because if you don't bath, you'll be smelling. So where there is sin, grace abides. That's what Paul said. The earlier you know that God does not want anybody to die, the better for you. God does not want anybody, when I say die, I mean perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish in sin. So the better it will be, because you stop creating unnecessary enmity between people. You know, some of you just have enemies everywhere. Enemies everywhere. You are enemies with almost everybody. And you have reasons why you are enemies with them. If you understand the love of God, that won't be necessary. Because somebody you are enemies with is God's friend. God is so much in love with that person. So you cannot be enemies with that person. But you can avoid people that are at the status quo trying to weigh you down. Are you listening to me? That doesn't mean they should become your enemies. Two different things. Do you people understand what I'm trying to say? Can two or three work together? No. So if you cannot work together because you don't have the same mentality, fine. But they should never become your what? Enemies. The Bible says, "Oh, no man, nothing but love." Meaning you may not be... You may not agree with them. You may not be working together with them, but you love them. You don't wish them back. You are not sitting down waiting for their downfall so that you rejoice. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And say, "I said it." Any prophet that is waiting for somebody to fail to say, "I said it," is a fake prophet. See, in the New Testament, we just live our life for God to get the glory. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's all. God wants all men saved. All men, not some. All men. And you are seeing the importance of doctrine. Now, aren't you seeing it? Are you seeing the power and the importance of doctrine? That if you believe wrongly, it's not about you being sincere. This man may be a sincere Christian. And we have a lot of people like that in the faith. I used to be like that. You love the Lord, but you don't just understand why the flesh is dominating your spirit, man. I remember, I will never forget the encounter I had in my room. Playing the keyboard, praying and crying. Singing songs. I remember that song I was singing. "I want to know you." I was just shouting in my room. And because you see, we were people that were on fire. The way people say on fire. But we still were struggling. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? We loved the Lord with the whole of our heart. But we still had some little issues. So it was seeming like we were hypocrites. And I couldn't imagine myself living like that for a long time, till the end of my life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So I had to go to the Lord in prayers. I said, "This Christianity, what is it? I want to understand this thing. I want to live for you." And I love friends like that too. We're praying. And I remember the Lord told me, he said, "Do well to know Christ." Know Christ. Study on the word Christos. That is when my unveiling of the scripture began. And I remember one time in Lagos, when I went to write jam with my dad, he was serving there. I remember I had an open vision and I heard the voice of the Lord. Literally, I've said this several times. The voice of the Lord literally telling me, said, "No, always see yourself like Christ." So you see, if you don't know Christ, how can you see yourself like Christ? Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He said, always see, because at that point, it's a funny story, but of course, so that you learn, there were these ladies. My dad was in the church. He was in the church. He was working in this Catholic church, the military arm of the Catholic church. They called him the chaplain. So they just posted him. So he was living around the church at that time. His house was around the church premises. And I went there to write jam, so I was staying with him. And most times when he goes out, I'm the only one at home till he comes back in the evening. And these ladies who are the altar guests, beautiful ladies, they will come around and be looking for me. I'll be looking for my trouble anyhow. They will come, look, and they were so pretty. So I never was paying attention to them all. But one day I started, admiring one of them. I said, ah, this one is fine. Maybe I'll play with her too. So when she came playing with me, I did not run that day. I was just smiling at her. I said, so what's up? And as I was talking, and she left other girls. I left. We just sat somewhere. And I was just talking to this lady and she was going. But I now remembered as she was going. I said, ah, no, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. As I started remembering, I was uncomfortable. I said, okay, so I have to go now. All right, see you later. I entered the room. I just knelt down innocently and I started praying, God, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. I will delete the number. Have mercy. Have mercy, Holy Spirit. I deleted the number in the front of God. I deleted everything. And I was telling the Lord to have mercy. And I was caught up in a vision. And in the vision, I heard the Lord saying to me, he said, always see yourself like Christ. He said, that's the solution. Always what? See yourself. I mean, if I was seeing myself like Christ, I would have not fallen a victim for that thing Satan wanted to do. So you see, sometimes when you go and ask ladies out, it's the devil that is pushing you to destruction. So I like that babe, guy, make I go meet her. It's Satan, no? He wants to kill you, destroy you, steal from you. Because if you start going now, you forget your book. Some of you who are students, some of you who have a career you are pursuing, you forget the career. You see somebody doing extra cool when he has not read for exams. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Before you know that coin I've added, people have withdrawn. You're on extra cool. Ay, God. Imagine you woke up and people are celebrating. Hey, 2 million. Somebody said 3 million. I said, what happened? He said, we were calling your number. It was busy. I made 3 million. I made 4 million. How many million? You had more coin than everybody. You now check. The coin is not way in the middle. It's now back. Because when they saw how Nigerians were withdrawing, you know, anytime people start withdrawing, they used to reduce coin ratio in the world. They'll just say, Nigerians don't withdraw. Men are stop. You people know what I'm saying. Even the air drop they started, it's you people that made them to stop. Because some of you wanted to finish their money that they kept for the business. They said, let them just do airdrop, let them give people $100. Some people are making $900 in Nigeria. How much do they have that they want to start the business with that people are doing all of these things? Airdrop that they know somebody means, you know, why people would think like this, they will sleep so it will not really be a problem. Nigerians did not only were doing vigilo, Nigerians discovered, wait, some people is moving their leg as they are meeting their leg like this, as they are sleeping, they are mining. So the people said, no, for the sake of Nigeria, airdrop in the whole world, we have to stop. So now, imagine how Satan steals from you. Pushes you. Some of you now are wasting years of your life with the wrong lady. That's how Satan steals from you. You think it will work. It will now not finally work. Why are people shouting? I don't know. Calm down, I'm not talking to you. You know, years ago, a man of God said something to me in a meeting. I felt like men of God sometimes are doing too much. That's what I felt like. I said, some of these men of God, did they do too much? Just saying that God talked that one. I was just in a meeting, I heard about the man of God, so I wanted to hear him live. When they told me he was coming somewhere, I gathered money, went there. Enter, sat, I like sitting in front seat. Those days we used to gather money to go for meeting. These days people stream online. We used to go. I sat in the front seat, second row. In fact, people still even, okay, no, first row was ministers. So I sat in second row, and was praying in tongues. When he just mounted the stage, he started teaching, and suddenly he turned towards me. He said, "You." I'm saying mysterious thing, and I know you people don't understand. He said, but you, I sense in my spirit that you understand what I'm saying. He said, do you understand it? And I did like this. I was not shocked, so I bowed my head down again. I said, God, what is happening in this place? I was so scared because he pointed me and I truly got him. I understood what he was saying. Then he was sitting. He said, that is why when God wants to use you, if God wants to use you, he would demand certain sacrifices from you. For instance, if when God wanted to use Simon, he said, "You are Simon!" He pointed me again. Now, he never knew me all his life. After that meeting, he was not sure my name was Simon because I didn't go. I ran away. He said, "You are Simon!" I said, "Jesus, not this way, not this way. I promise I would have done this breakup since, not this way." Then as I covered my face, he said, "And upon this rock I will build my church." I wanted to stand up and say, "Yes, sir, it's me." But when I turned, he had already thought, "Upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." My name was Simon. But as nobody knew me there, I just said, nobody saw me. I said, "Oh, yes, sir, well, we are here." Because somehow I just speak in my spirit. I'm not so sure. As we started impartation, "You again, everything, you, everybody has to start looking at me in the meeting." The only thing that saved me that was that none of my friends came for the meeting. I was the only one that made it. So none of them knew of the warning. If they were there, they would have understood the man of God. So when I went out, you know, in the meeting, I was telling God, I will break up. I don't care how she will feel. Even if she dies, no problem. I'm going to break up today in the name of... I knew. I cried. I had finished everything. As I just went out, she called me. I said, hi. I said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Fine." The talk was so sweet to me. I just forgot everything. I did not break up. You know, some of you have done like that before. You say, "I will break up." Yeah. Oh my, that stupid boy. My stupid... Say I should break up with you, but I will not. My stupid pastor said I should break up, but I will not break up. You know, Pastor Simon will just be disturbing people. We will not break up. He called me to his office today, said I should break up, but I'm telling you, we will not. Devil, guess what? People of God, why don't they anoint me a pastor? Apostle Kola called me to his office. He said, "You are the first non-married person I'm ordaining." He said, "But the Holy Spirit told me to do it." I don't know why. I was just watching. And he said, "But I heard a rumor that you have somebody you are in a relationship with." And you know, the way they have authority over us many years ago, I'm still like that. He just said, "Go and break up. All right? Break up this night and I'll do the ordination tomorrow." So I stood up and said, "Yes, sir." As I went to the door, I said, "Sir Kai, I can't break up." He said, "Simon, come and sit down. Firstly, he was shocked. "You are videoing me?" "No, it's fine. But that part, I was saying those stories. Don't post it away." Hallelujah to Jesus. "That my story, don't say it. Don't post it." I hope these wicked bloggers will not now think that the story is a problem. Amen? So, I told him I cannot. He said, "Simon, sit down. What time did you reach to start telling me you are telling me you know? What happened? What is happening with your life? You need to hear. I said, I want to ordain you the first blogger." I said, "Sir, I understand. I thank you for the honor, but... sir, I can't." He said, "Something is wrong." Now, truly something was wrong. At that point, I discovered some deep things about her life. That if I leave at that point, she would think that I'm scared of the things. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So I was scared of how she would think. It was something about life and death. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So I didn't want to leave because of the picture it would paint. So I told Apostle. Immediately I told him, he just nodded his head. He said, "You are a good boy. You are an emotional person. But you will still break up." I said, "Hey, God." I said, "Don't worry, I will ordain you. But you will break up. Don't worry. You can go. Have a nice time." I left confident that that's my wife. More confident that nothing against us can falter. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I had that experience as an archive that... this is one of the mountains I climb for our love. So that's how powerful it was. I knew if this one did not break us, nothing in this world would break us. I was more sure than ever. Cry. This life. If I broke up, you can break up. I know what I'm telling you, like I know my name. One of my friends told me, he says, Simon, what in this world will pay you the most than a breakup? I said, what kind of stupid talk is this? You just be on your own and start saying rubbish. I called with him on the road. I said, think of speech. What kind of stupid thing is that? He said, no, I just asked a question. I said, stop. Which kind of useless question? All of you are against me. Leave me. Leave our love. It was that serious. I never saw it coming. In fact, prophetic words were rising. The two would chase a thousand. 10,000. We're hearing it. As you are seeing now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because we wanted it to work. But I was wasting my time. You know that song that says, I'm not wasting time. It's not for this time. Because the later part of the song says, calling upon your name. Not when you are in the wrong relationship. That one is time wasted. Listen to this and really amend your part. The worst of them are those that are seeking to enter into a relationship they are not sure of. Now you are knocking. Run away. You think that's the best thing that can happen to you in this life. It's not. Are you listening to me? Well, finally, to cut the long story short, as the Lord said, and as the Lord pleases, it happened. It happened. And I was so strong when it happened. But I still cried. And I didn't believe I would cry. Because I trained people not to cry. And I didn't know that me that I've trained strong people, spiritual Spartans, I didn't know the commander general will one day break down. When I broke up, I was so confident. I just called myself, I broke it up. Following the will of God for my life. And they were like, Pastor, it's so touching. How many years? No. Those are small things. You know, when God speaks to you, you don't. I didn't know that it was their presence that were making me feel okay. Everybody now left to their house in the night. So I wanted to now bath and sleep. I thought I can bath and sleep like a normal human being. As I entered the bedroom, I just poured water. It now down on me that I've broken up. As it down on me, I was going down. And I sat down and said, I have broken up. I was asking myself, I have broken up. That's how tears started falling. I said, I have broken up. I just rubbed the water small and carried toy. I said, I have broken up. I really have broken up. What did I do, God? What mistake have I made? That was, see, how many years? That's how it will be for you if you don't hear God. It will be like waste of time. I know what I'm telling you. Don't waste your time on the wrong things. Don't. The enemy has come but to what? Steal. To what? And to what? Some people think the enemy has come to steal, kill, destroy. Then the enemy, I'll kill you now. The enemy, I will destroy you. Wah, wah, wah. They think that's how Satan will come. They are waiting for him to come like Bose in one Chinese film. No. He will come in ways that you cannot decipher. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You want to really be intelligent in the word. That's why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you are able to what? The word, fiery wheels of the devil, the cunningness of the devil. Cunningness. He fights with wisdom. We are beings of knowledge. Remember, that's why God came as the word. Why didn't he come as fire? The glory of God came like in a pillar of cloud. Pillar of cloud, yeah. In the Old Testament, came as fire several ways. But the New Testament, the glory came as the word. The word was what? Made flesh. Walked into the neighborhood. Men beheld the glory of God full of what? Grace and truth. It is only through the word of God we encounter the glory of God. He came as the word because we are beings of knowledge. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart. In his heart. We are beings of knowledge. It takes the right ideology to make you really perfect. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, it says, to perfect the saint by knowledge, by the knowledge of Christ. To perfect the saint. That simply means if you have the wrong knowledge, you can be destroyed by the wrong knowledge. That That's why Satan in these last days is fighting system, people, churches, organizations via knowledge. That's how he wants to. Song is cool, even though it doesn't really sound gospel. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's how he begins. Then I think you can even put earring and put nose ring as a man. It's not a problem. It's just culture of people. It's just rubbish. People are just being too religious and overzealous. He's creeping a little bit into the church, little by little. He's creep. You give him a chance, he creeps in again. The Bible says, "Give no foothold to the devil." That's what Paul said. Don't give him a place. You see what is happening in the church today? Today I was in my office and I was looking at a video of a prophet with earrings attached all over his system. I mean his body, just his hands don't have this part of his hands. Everywhere tattoo, earring, nose ring, and the hair long down. And he was giving prophetic words. So I said, "Lord, let me even see whether this thing is true. I want to feel." Try to. When I was trying to do it, I just said, "No need. Let me get her from here." Then I started hearing 1 Corinthians 13:12 again. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, it has an end. But what will last eternal? Love, fullness. What does that mean? See, live knowing God in parts. It is possible to know God in fullness. If you know God in parts, listen. Many people think, "Oh my God, Lord, help me now. Help me." Because this one, many people think is supposed to be like that. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 13. If you observe 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, we were traveling somehow down from chapter 11. But let's start from, let's emphasize 12 and 13. You see Paul talking about giftings. And I started last Sunday telling you how that the church had diverse manifestation of the Spirit and Paul was trying to correct them. Are we together? Or he wrote to put them in order. That's a better way to put it. He wrote because they were not aware of those manifestations of the Spirit. Now, people like Paul were accustomed to those things. They knew them. Alright, they understood them. So Paul had to write to the Corinthian church. So I heard that the Holy Ghost is manifesting in diverse dimensions in your lives. So he had to write to them and say, "Now maybe you have this, you have that, you are seeing this yet." Now, I told you last Sunday that when the Bible says gift, it's not indicating that you have your separate gift and I have my separate gift. No. Gift simply means manifestation in the original. The manifestation of the Spirit. That's what it meant for when they wrote the gift of the Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? And I say, when we say gift, it's not even something that should be ambiguous. It's just the way we interpret it. I remember showing you Ephesians 2 and 8, where the Bible says we're saved by the grace of God through faith, which is a gift from God, lest any man should what? That simply means God is calling faith a gift in Ephesians 2, 8. But is he saying it's one of the gifts that you will have and I will not have? I don't know that you people get what I'm trying to say. He's calling it a gift because it came from him. It's not of our own accord. Now, when we are able to heal the sick, we cannot naturally heal the sick, but God gave us the ability to heal the sick. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? When I'm able to say mountain be removed from me, I'm speaking to a problem and it's being solved. On my own, I cannot, but by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the gift of faith, I can. Now, it's not saying I have the gift of faith, you have the gift of healing. That's not what he's saying. Because it's funny, we all ought to live by faith and not by sight. So some people cannot have faith and some people don't have faith. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So if Paul meant like this, right? Paul will not say in verse 31 that in the old KJV, what did he say? He said, covet earnestly the best gift. Now, if I'm supposed to have something different and you are supposed to have something different, then Paul cannot tell me to covet your own because the Bible says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife and etc. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So Paul cannot tell me to steal what belongs to you. He's just kind of saying, I can get what belongs to this man for myself. Because he told us not to even compete with ourselves. Else we are not wise. So why would Paul be, now if that is supposed to be gift for me, gift for you, and we should not bother each other, Paul will not say I should covet your own if I like it. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? That negates everything about the idea of gifting. If you observe, as Paul will write, he will say the gift of the Holy Spirit by this, he will say this one the gift of this, that one the gift of this, then you will not say by same spirit. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Now, how many of you have feel partly 80% the Holy Ghost? Maybe you 20% is yet to be on your inside. Can I see your hands up? You are sure you have 100%? So are you sure you have 100% manifestation? So what you may be touching in God now may not be what this other person is touching in God. It doesn't mean that thing is not in him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So this guy is exploring God in a dimension. There's something about God he has seen around finance. And you are praying in tongues, healing the sick, but you just wake up one morning, he has bought private jets. And you are wondering, some of you like this second gift more. Kai, the thing touched some of you. You like it more. Amen? And you are wondering, now the guy is wondering too. If he sees you healing the sick, now let me show you why two of them are very important now. You now, your mother is okay, your siblings are okay. Because of the anointing, the yokes are broken. But you are all broke. And you wake up seeing your friend private jet, but mother dead in the private jet going for burial. Which is better? See, I'll mix it. Everybody now is saying I'll mix the two of them. Are you seeing it? So who doesn't want money? If there's anything as the gift of money, the gift of the manifestation of money. Everybody say, Lord, please start from there. Meanwhile, God thinks that should be the least. He said, seek first the kingdom. Then he said, every other one that the Gentiles, he said, will be what? Added to you. But Satan is making us feel, and the pressure in Nigeria now is making us feel that later one is stronger than the first one. And some people will tell you that when you have money, serving is easy. Why will it not be easy? God does not even trust you if you just have money. I say, Lord, I love you. He knows you don't love him. Hear what Satan said. Take everything that belongs to Job and see whether he will serve you. Do you know Job cursed God at some point? Huh? At some point, he now repented. I said, though you slay me, I will serve you. Now, that song is from the agony of the pains of Job. It's not a song by the Holy Spirit. It's a song from the frustration of Job. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, God is not trying to do that in the New Testament. Remember, he said, I do not test with evil. Because the product God has in the New Testament does not need testing. Oh, do you get what I'm trying to say? In the New Testament, we are his righteousness. He's our righteousness, In the Old Testament, we had our own righteousness. And the righteousness of a man is like as a what? Filthy rag before God. But in the New Testament, God himself has become our righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin. So that through him, we may become what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? So now, since he is our righteousness, he does not need to validate this righteousness in the new man. That's what the Bible says in James. He doesn't test with evil. That simply means if you are in any trouble now thinking it's test. No, it's not test. God is not the one testing you. Alright? But the Bible says you can count it all joy when you fall into those diverse temptations by the devil. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Knowing the ideology behind everything, that God who is faithful will not make sure Satan touches you, and that he has given you the ability to overcome anything that comes your way. Somehow the temptation will work out some things, because you were eating too much and you were not praying, and yet you are saying, if anybody be in Christ, hey, I know who I am. So as the devil came knocking, God was watching. Because not that he allowed Satan, you paved the way for Satan by your nonchalant attitude. No prayer, no nothing. Angels are getting fat, obesity everywhere. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Demons came in, they can't even walk, because you are just lazy. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And God is like, that's not the man I created, man. So he's just watching Satan. He knows you will not die, like Job did not die, but he's watching Satan. Do your worst so that this guy will stand. And somehow in the pain and agony, not this time, Satan. Now that person that was eating is doing rebagadata. And as you are doing it, oil is coming out. The anointing. That thing God has put on your inside. In the threshing, in the piercing, you are bringing out new wine. Are you people getting on trying to explain? I can do this thing now. The things you couldn't do before, now all of a sudden. And God now said, whatever the devil stole there is not the point. He said, I can give you a billion times more. What the canker worms, what the whatever worms ate in your life. Are you listening to me? Meanwhile, he allowed it so that something glorious will come out from your life. Now, somebody wrote something, one of my pastor friends, it really blessed me. He said, the gate of hell against you is an indication that you are not standing on the rock. Because he said, if we stand on the rock, the gate of hell shall not prevail. Now, if it seems like it's prevailing, it's an indication you are not standing on the rock. So, and the trial you see in that season is actually supposed to push you to go standing on the rock. Are you people getting on trying to explain? So whatever is happening, God will be aligning it. He will be watching, desperately watching. He wants you to be digging in the situation. Suddenly you just create a prayer strategy. Every day I will pray 6 hours. Every day 2 hours. Every day 1 hour. Every day 10. As you are praying, you are digging. You were not praying before. But the situation has now entailed you to be praying. Are you people getting on trying to say? And suddenly you stumble upon the rock. And God says, okay, at this point, we can trust him and her. Because she's on the rock. If you are not on the rock, not even God can trust you, because he knows that when situation comes and tough days come, you will turn your face towards him and say, get out. But if you're on the rock, he trusts you to the finish. That is why he said, on this rock I will build my church, a people for myself, and he's sure that the gate of hell will not what prevail. He said, if they're on the rock. I told you many years ago the experience I had. There are many frustrated Christians, I promise you. Many frustrated Christians who love the Lord with the whole of their heart, but because they cannot walk in the reality of that love they have for God, which is just in the soulish realm, they just make up their mind to become wayward. So they see you doing these things you are doing now, and they say, well, I used to be like you. Have you heard people like that? There were once fellowship head leaders on campus. They'll tell you, I used to be like you, but let me tell you, you'll be tired. They are promising you that you'll be tired. Because they were not on the rock. They were on religious ideas. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's why when the troubles of life came, they had to fall. So what makes you strong? Not the years you've been in church, but the fact that you are building your life on the rock. That you are sounding sound doctrine. That's why Paul said, anything that is not of sound doctrine, take it out from the church. Else you will raise people who think they are strong in their mind. And when the flood of life comes, they will be shattered into pieces. Because it's just religious stature they have. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They are not actually strong in its actuality. That's what is happening in the faith today. And that's why you hear preachers for 30 years telling you that. Listen, they are still emphasizing things that should not be emphasized. How can somebody with 30 years is still telling you that he's struggling with the flesh? Sometimes when I struggle, you are not supposed to struggle with the flesh. You see, Satan, listen to me carefully. If you think I'm somebody that have a problem, check my archives by the grace of God. I don't have a problem. And I'm not boasting in the flesh. I'm boasting by the grace of God. When I knew this, I stood on it with the whole of my life. Listen, the reason why you see me talk down Satan is not because I'm a foolish young man that does not know, just is full of pride. Some people may just watch some little clip and say, this guy is full of pride. Look how he's talking down Satan. Does he know Satan? You know, a video I did, somebody now said, have I come to Ogbomosho before? That this mouth I'm making, there's a demon in Ogbomosho that if I come, if they touch me, my body will shake. I'll stop saying what I'm saying. Because I told them in the video, I said, I don't believe in the existence of Satan anymore. In fact, I don't believe Satan exists. I said, this one knows Satan at all. Because you are Satan, brother. You know him. You know what he can do. Are you getting? I'm trying to explain to you. You hear somebody say, listen, please, listen. I'm not trying to paint pastors wrong. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But if you don't understand this wisdom and you are teaching for years, even as a man of God, see what Paul said. He said, by knowing the truth of, he said, firstly, he said, pay attention to your beliefs and to the doctrines that you preach. That's 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy what again? 4:15. He said, pay attention to the doctrines that you know. Pay attention to the teachings that you know. He said, in that way, you are able to save yourself. It's not this part of scripture. 16. It said, take heed unto thyself and to the to your doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt what? Both save thyself and what? Them that hear you. You see that? Meaning if you preach wrongly, you will not even save yourself. And those that hear you will be in trouble. You know, when you hear that they catch a pastor doing an atrocity, most people, you see them shouting, pastor, a pastor. Listen, the Bible did not say the name or the offices of the fivefold are a strong tower, that the righteous come into those names and are saved. That's not what it says. It said the name of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you see them like, pastor did that cry. I expect now, of course, everybody expect more from a pastor. But you know why that pastor made the mistake? He was standing on sinking sand. When God gave us this principle, he did not say pastors have an advantage. There's a covering for pastors if they are not on the right ground. He didn't say that. He said, if you build your house on the rock, when flood comes, you will stand. If it's not on the rock, you will fall. So flood comes for everybody. The temptation that comes to you comes to a pastor. Believe me, I tell you the truth. Some of them, the reason they caught them right now is because the temptation prevailed. Why? Not because they are bad humans when they decided to follow God. You'll be amazed the things those people have done, the good things some of them have done. But all of a sudden, everything is shattered into pieces because of the wrong. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Why? Because they were planted on sinking sand. They didn't pay attention to doctrines. Are you listening to me? They didn't. And all of a sudden, all the great work is shattered into pieces because of what? They prevailed. Satan prevailed. You know, I was hearing something that really broke my heart. That a man of God locked his wife up for several months, maybe years. And such a man of God has even been insulting. He's even fighting doctrinal fights online. I don't even know his name. But I saw the video somehow. The woman was confessing that he even used to sleep with people in the church. People's wife. He would collect people's wife. You know, he collected a wife. In fact, I think from the video they say the wife, one of the wife he collected is from our state. Just to tell you, not anything. I just wanted to show you that we were in this story too. So he collected the wife and, amen? and the wife now gave birth to a child in his house. But the wife, his original wife is locked. She is locked inside the house. She doesn't move freely. So one of the members found that and they escalated the message and they gave it to one of these activists that he was arguing with. And the activist told police. So they now went to the house and saw the woman and took her to the police station. That's how they released the woman. Then the woman started downloading the story. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, terrible, isn't it? But what happened? You think when he started, he told himself that I'm going to do this thing one day? He never said that to himself. But as he kept on rising, the fame, the money, all of a sudden Satan what? Prevailed. You guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Nobody ever stands up and, I'm going to cheat on my wife. Have you ever heard any man from marriage say, everybody promises him goodness in good times, in bad times, for richer, for poorer, till I die, blah, blah, blah. You hear all the promises, isn't it? But today, statistics says one out of three marriages, the man, inside three marriages, only one is not cheating on his wife. You keep three people now that are married, there's only one that is not cheating on his wife. If you keep 10, it's only like 2-3 that are not cheating on their wives. Statistics. And that another statistic said most homes do not live to celebrate 25th marriage anniversary. Before 25th, the thing used to crash. It's so funny. It's a sad reality. No, as we're talking now, you'll be saying, which people are, we are full of Christians in Nigeria. Which Christians are doing this kind of thing? No, it cannot be Christians. It should be pagans. You'll be amazed. You'll be so amazed. Some of you that have not married, that are toasting some guests. How many are you toasting? You have not even entered the marriage. How far? You see a young man toasting three girls. How can you be faithful? It's only God that will help people, sisters. You better learn to hear God. Some people toasting you now are toasting three others. They are fully, no, this scope is very easy. See all those boys that before they open their mouth, scope have come out. Be scared of them. Oh. Some of us that will come and tell you that Jesus said, just follow us. Oh. But in all, just hear God. That's what I'm trying to say. Because some people are using Jesus now to get wife. It's only God that can help you in this world. Oh. And some people are telling you God does not, don't hear God for who to marry. Don't hear God for who to marry. But you want to hear God on where to serve. You know, one man of God was saying, you don't need God to tell you who to marry. I said, where did God tell you to start a ministry years ago? He said, yeah, God spoke to me specifically to start in Abuja. I said, so God told you where to start ministry? He said, yes. I said, why didn't you just start anywhere? He said, I know, I had to hear the leading of God because everything we want is in the place. I said, okay. Everything you want is in a woman. Pray, let God give you that one woman. Else, instead of doing ministry, you do ministry. The Lord give you understanding. Instead of building church, you are building wife. You get what I'm trying to say? You should enter and be building church together. Not that instead of you focus. Some men of God, they are not focused on ministry. They are focused on ministry at home. So how will ministry go? Are you listening to me? God knows the men and women that you need at this level of your growth. He knows. He looks at you. He looks around. Ah, Miriam will fit Sonny. He just thought, only him knows. And that's why sometimes when God picks for you, even you will be shocked. You didn't see it coming. You see yourself so fine, pink leaves, that you see one guy in church, say, oh, it has to be that guy, man. Lord, something like that. Then the Lord shocks you. He said, check your back. That man, he has everything I'm looking for you. He said, God, this man, in fact, the man is a comedian to you. It happens. Now, some of you, that a man comes to you, look at him and say, hey, I don't suffer. You now call. You know who make. You know what to say? Now my husband today. Hey, God, oh, I don't suffer, but it's like, I don't stop GCMI, before I die. God is gracious and wonderful. You will not see it coming. The glory in people. The glory in people. Don't joke with God, oh. If he tells you follow, are you listening to me? You may not see it. He's seen everything. He knows the end. In fact, he's at the end and speaking to you in the beginning. He has seen the end, the glorious end. Then he says to you, follow me. Follow what I'm saying. He said, delight in the Lord, then he will fulfill what? The desires of your heart. The last place to think of, the last condition, the last, what did I say? The last parameters to consider in marriage is tribe. It's such a useless parameter to consider. Such a useless one. So why will you not marry that man? Say, ah, he's Igbo. I'm Ibibio. Our people know they settle. Are you marrying for the people? Is it democracy? That's the last thing to consider. You know, some funny people say, I want to make my father proud. I want to marry a man from our local government. My father said, if I love him, I should. Your dad is just blackmailing you emotionally. Just ask your mom, Mom, how far with this our marriage? Not where you want to marry you. Let marriage talk finish. Ah, Mommy, have you enjoyed this marriage? If your dad tells you so, just go to your mother. Ah, my daughter, if it's not you and my children, if I don't leave this house since your father, then go to your dad and say, ah, Mom says she would have left you since. I don't want to tell my children that I would have left you since. I'm not trying to mock, but what I'm trying to make you understand is that everybody has something to say about anybody. You know why some of your parents, when they hear one tribe, they'll shout, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. I used to have a friend in Kaduna that if we want to make the woman laugh, if we want to find our trouble, we'll just go and sit at the dining and tell her, Ma, there's this girl in Calabar. She hates Calabar. We'll first start from Idoma. If you, in any tribe you call, she knows their problem. Idoma, they didn't stay for a person's house. I remember Idoma, she said, they know they stay for a house. They didn't stay for my house. Call another one, she'll say another. Then her son knows. And I said, Mommy, now Calabar woman I see for church. With me, I know my, he was going to say, come here, Holy Ghost fire on you. Come here. God forbid, Holy Ghost fire. You will not marry Calabar in Jesus' name. She has a serious problem with Calabar. And if you know the problem, some of you will be amazed. It could be that many years ago, when she was in the barrack, a Calabar woman was her neighbor. And they used to fight every time. So she just generalized the Calabar people. Now, wicked people, just because of one woman. You know, I hate it when somebody say Deltans don't respect their wife. So why? Is it because of what? You know, 2 out of 1 million. 2 out of 1 million. Your school, your education is useless. It's the truth. Because most of you wrote projects in 400 level. I'm sure you did research methodology. How to come into conclusion. How can you use 2 people out of 1 million and just summarize or just conclude on a matter? Is it possible? If you are intelligent before, just know that you are not intelligent anymore. If you think like this. See, some of these are parents. They just need the word of God. Advise them. When they start talking, start preaching to them. Tell them, Mommy, you don't talk like that. It's wrong. There's nothing wrong with this tribe. Are you listening to me? Yes, sir. Firstly, they know you are mature. That's why they are saying, go and have children with that man. You know what they say? When they say you are married, they are telling you that you are independent. Go and survive. I cannot be the reason why you'll be enjoying your life, Mommy. I'm not the sacrifice. It's not me that is Isaac. Some of you, they are offering you as a living sacrifice for the life of their husband could not give them, so that you come and give them. Doesn't work like that. You know, I've been to police station. Oh. They took me that I stop a daughter of mine in this church not to marry a certain person. It's a big man to them. I did not put my hand. I was just training her to hear God. And she decided not to marry the man. And it blew the family's heart. In fact, extended family. One call said, you are a stupid man of God. You are useless. I'm telling you. I said, okay, ma. Thank you, ma. I did not say anything. I heard some terrible news. You see, there are some things that you can't help. Are you listening to me? You call me, whether you think I'm 13, I'll be 14, and you are saying, God put his hand on me. You are not saying, your God will punish you. You may die. And it's not my fault. When I heard the news, I can't help it. But there's nothing I could do. I'm not saying anything no more than what I've just said like this. Hallelujah to Jesus. When they called me to apologize, I said, no problem, it's fine. I promise you, in my heart, I didn't say, God, kill this person now. I never said it. And all that, it was so painful, I just kept my mood. In fact, the man of God, the man, that wanted to marry her, started sending me SMS. You are a useless pastor. In fact, he called you. Who ordained you? I was just laughing. It was paining the guy. The thing was sweeting me, you know. He pained him. He said, who ordained you? We'll report you to the government of these states. I said, eh? We'll talk your case. You are deceiving young ladies. I was so happy. You know, I did not give him one reply. One. He did not get. He was actually trying to add me, so I went and blocked him on Facebook. So that the ad would not. Now he doesn't. I don't think he has ever seen me. He has seen me in the past how many years now? But it pained him. You know that thing pained him, right? Because he did not marry. The pain he has dreamt. I asked him once, I said, why do you like the lady? He said, sir, when I heard that talk, I just knew this is my wife. She was so nice, blah, blah, blah. I said, eh? And I said, sir, can you do something about this? I said, only God can do. I'm going to learn to hear God. There are several cases like that. There's one again, one of my past. They want to send help on campus for her. Laptop help after school straight to the US. The family has sat down on a meeting and have agreed. And I've told her to agree. They commanded her. You know, there's a way you'll be poor that you just, the Lord give you understanding. Are you listening to me? They commanded her. Right, she now came and said, sir, this is what I, but I told them no. I said, toh, magana ya kari. That's how everything finished. No insult she did not receive on the phone. The man want to send house girl on campus. Laptop. Like you'll be on, in school with a house girl. Wash the dishes. Iron my cloth for lectures by 2 a.m. Remind me, secretary, hold my back. My madam is sitting on this chair. Please don't sit. This is my madam's chair. And she said no. And all of them is anointed boys they now chose to marry. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? After all those millions, they now looked at anointed men. This one is the one. This. If those men see the people they want to marry now, they'll be like, hey, you left me for this man. Even Jesus said, first seek kingdom, then every other word. He did not say, the man, you know, some ladies are so funny. They say, pastor, sir, the man is not a bad person. Nobody said he's a bad person. He loves God. But the only problem is that he doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. Sir, I believe God has put me to change him. And destiny changer, actually. It's me, sir. The other day I dreamt I was laying hands on him. And he started praying in tongues. Oh my God. Being a pastor can be fun. In agony, there's still fun in being a pastor. There's nothing I have not heard with my ear in my office. One came, she said, sir, there's a man, sir, God said he's my husband. I said, how now? But he says, no. Say, sir, God, I saw an east wind and a west wind. And the west wind blew to the east. God now told me that I'll be the one to deliver him from condemnation into life. I just stood up. I said, hey, whoa, hey, whoa, hey, whoa, hey, whoa. This is how I was doing for her. I said, hey, whoa, hey, whoa. She was just looking at me. I said, liar. This is true life story. I shouted, liar. She started crying. Immediately I said, liar, she caught herself. I said, why are you crying? If you are not a liar, you would have not cried. Liar. There is nothing you know here. Meanwhile, God, is God not glorious? Is he not the all wisest? He said, man, he said, husband, love your wife as what? Christ loved the church. He said, marry a believing man. He did not say, marry a man that is yet to believe. A believing man. There was a marriage is not a criteria. Praying in tongues is not a criteria for the man in Christ. I mean, for a marriage to be nice. Let me say something to you. If God thinks you should be, I don't know how to explain this, but listen carefully. You know, some people are, I won't be shy to mention those names. Some people mention names like, there's one of my videos, some of you would have seen it, full of insults and full of few people that agree to it. But many people were insulting me in the video where I said, don't marry a man that does not pray in tongues. You know, if you really look at the video, I was copied from somewhere. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, the dear lady in church, I don't know how they got that video, but they did the clips in a way that they just cut from where I say, don't marry a man that does not pray in tongues. Blah, blah, blah. So, when they put it like that, it's really was commanding attention from people. It was harsh. And a lot of folks who don't pray in tongues had a problem about it because they feel like I'm denying them wives. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So they told me that a video is circulating about me and people are in anger. When I saw the video, I said, but they would have not posted it. Say, sir, it's not us that posted, it's one of our ladies. And I looked at the thing, looked at the lady, I smiled, saw the insult, and I said, ah, this one is died, I'll die. They should delete it. As I was trying to pray in the spirit, the Lord told me, is there a light? And I woke up in the night, I looked at the insult, I said, no. This is not how my ministry is. He said, allow it. A light. A strategy. Then I allowed it. So now if I watch the comment, I used to laugh. Me and my wife. There's one that said, he just wrote, he said, if said they should write it down. he said, the guy who said they should write it down. Even me, I started laughing. Listen, they met somebody, there's somebody's comment that touched me. He said, you want to compare yourself to people like William Graham and the rest of them that didn't pray in the Holy Spirit and etc. William Graham is not greater than Abraham. Abraham did not pray in the Spirit. But listen, God has a standard in Scripture that we must follow, irrespective of any man that's ever hit the earth. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Do we honor William Graham? Very well. Very well. But listen carefully and listen good. If William Graham was another Messiah that saved the world, America would be the holiest nation today. But I'm not saying his work is not perfect. Whatever they've done, there's still a demand for something to really purge out from the third heavens upon America today to stop a lot of things that are happening today. The new one is so obvious to most of us seated there that we are still panting for the new one. It is the solution to any problem that's ever hit the earth. He said, I will not pour new wine in what? Old wineskin. Listen carefully. I did this teaching one time. It commanded some people's attention and they were thinking I was just disdaining fathers. No. The Bible said in Hebrews 12, alright, it said, seeing that we are so surrounded by a cloud of what? Witnesses. It said, let us lay aside every weight. Weight there simply means distractions, irrelevant ideas, religious ideas. If you understand Paul's style of writing, when he says something is a weight, it's not necessarily saying the thing is a sin yet, but the thing is acting as a distraction. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So he says, seeing that we are surrounded by mighty a cloud of witnesses, he said, listen, brothers and sisters, lay aside every weight. The second thing, and the sin that easily beset. He said, how did he put it? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Gives you an idea. Historians say Paul is a sports person. And this sport called this racing sport, it started with them. Are we together? And they said he was trying to get a sight example with their own sport in their days there. Are we together? That's why if you look at the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, you observe where he said put on the belt of truth. Some of you will be wondering, is their style of dressing? Those days, if you don't wear belts, you cannot run very well. You cannot walk very well. Because the gun will just be open. You'll just be here. Moving anyhow, but when you put on the belt of truth, you can walk freely, or a belt yet. Let's not call it the belt of truth. Are you people getting? I'm trying to explain to you. So coming back here, it says, seeing that you are surrounded by so mighty a cloud of witnesses. Now get this. Bring my board very fast. Let me do this so that you catch it very very fast. You'll love it. Hallelujah. Anytime I have to do this, it must be with a board. If you observe, what did Paul say? What is the reason for whatever we're going to do right now after line one? What did he call there? Seeing that we're what? Surrounded by what? A cloud of what? Who are these witnesses? Remember, we're coming from somewhere. Huh? 11:1. We read. We're coming from somewhere. Now, faith whatsoever. Verse 2. And let me say something about this faith that will bless you. Go back to verse 1. So that, it said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I hear people say, this is a description of old faith. Not necessarily. It describes the new faith and the old faith. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God's word is substance to us that we use to hope for things we have not seen in manifestation yet. So Paul is saying the style of Paul's writing is very simple. He will not try to confuse us. If you look at it carefully, Paul is saying they too, they had a substance. They had substance they were using. What was their substance? He begins to cite example. He said, by faith, Cain slew a lamb. What was the act of faith there? Sorry, how did he put it? Please let's read verse so that I'm not confusing myself and you. Verse 2. Okay, all right. Go there. Elders obtained a good report. Whose testimony? He said, by faith, Abel offered to God a what? More excellent sacrifice. By faith, his sacrifice was better than who? Cain. Sit down. I'm seeing Pastor. I'm trying to say, I'm enjoying your company. That cloud of witnesses making their anointing strong. But you have to sit. He said, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it he being dead still speaks. Listen carefully. That simply means that the act of faith that Abel used to offer a better sacrifice to God was something he did. We all were taught that Abel gave God the best gift and gave God the worst. It's not true. The Bible said Cain tilled of the ground and he was so strong than Abel, meaning Cain had more strength than Abel, so his sacrifices were more buoyant and more wonderful than that of Abel. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? For instance, let's say Cain was giving God like $10 billion. Abel was now giving God like $200 million, and God preferred $200 million to $10 billion because the person that gave $200 million gave it the right way. What was the right way? The Father taught them that the algorithm to pleasing God is through the blood of a lamb. And before Cain gave his sacrifice, he slew a lamb. He slew a lamb. And on the strength of the blood of the lamb, God received the sacrifice of Abel better than that of Cain. Now, what was that lamb pointing to? Jesus Christ. That was the substance of Abel's faith in the Old Testament. So let's describe faith again. One, two, go. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So he had not seen God's favor yet, but he believed that if he sacrifices this lamb, God will receive his sacrifice and he will have favor with God. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Now, why did the favor come? Not because the lamb was so important, but because God was believing, was excited that they were pointing to Christ. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to say. That's why when he came, he said, sacrifices and blood, I did not have any delight in them. But because they were pointing to Christ, he was affirming that, somebody's going to come sometime. And on the strength of him, I'll make sure you have a glorious life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? So everything was pointing to Christ. That is why somewhere in Hebrews, the Bible says, they admiring the glory of God from afar, they affirmed that they were aliens on the earth and they died. Tell your neighbor, we're not aliens on the earth. Because originally the sons shall inherit the earth. We that the promise have come to, we will reign on the earth forever. Listen carefully. Because some of you wonder why I don't talk about death. So that we prepare for death. You know, I went to a funeral service with a friend by one of the denominations in this town. And the way they sang and preached on death, my friend said, it will hunger you to want to die. Because the kind of hope they gave people after death was sweeter than life in itself. Even the songs of death were sweeter than songs of life. I mean, when you go there and they begin to, my goodness. The first time I went for a funeral service that was singing in TV, I asked somebody, I said, is that a studio? Did they play something from speaker? See, I tell you, TGC, you need keyboard. Those people don't need keyboard. Those guys were just boom, the dumb, boom. My goodness, what is keyboard there? Keyboard will not even make it. Keyboard will spoil it. And if you see the songs they were, if you listen to the wordings, you just see yourself flying if you don't know. Just, all of a sudden, you are flying into the realms. So he said, Pastor Simon, the way they are doing this thing, death is even hungering most people in this place. Because they make it look like death is so sweet. Hallelujah to Jesus. But do you know why I don't talk about death? Because death is not supposed to be the emphasis. but what Jesus has done. Listen, the Bible says we shall not all die. If death hit that scripture off for me, I'm going to come back here. I'm not finished. Before we round up, and listen, be interested. Tell your neighbor, be interested. You know, a preacher said something. He said, one of the stupid things he has seen on the earth, and one of his greatest fear for the Nigerian church, is the fact that the average believer cannot prove his faith. The average believer, he loves the Lord, he can't prove his faith. There are some of us, they call us and they say, they tell us that we want to sentence you for believing in Jesus. We are looking for evidence. If they check you very well, they will not find any evidence. Most average believers cannot prove their faith in Christ. They can't explain scriptures. They are so full of activities. They are ready to sing and dance in church. Little knowledge of scripture. Some of them are in church now. They are thinking of the food they want to eat this evening. Whether they warm it for them. And they're wondering, revival. Which useless revival? Can you sit with the word of God for 5 hours? 5 hours. If somebody after 2 hour service is saying, cry, this church. Now imagine what he would do with 2 hours in his house. You think he can have the tenacity to pray? Amen. What hope do we have for Christianity? So when you are in church, be very dedicated. Pay attention. Are you listening? Pay attention. He said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, aka die. Old KJV, please. Literal KJV. Well, he still used the word sleep. I wish I saw the one said dead. This is a faith way of saying death in scripture. Sleep. He said, we shall not all sleep. But he said, we shall all be what? Change. Now, are you seeing that death is not a surety? Are you seeing that the Bible says we shall not all? That means some people will not die. Yes, sir. So I say, but who will not die? Who will not die? We don't know. When the parousia happens, and if some of us are around, well, Paul in his time did not say I was going to die. He said, we all, he spoke about day remaining. How did he put it in the book of Thessalonians? Huh? We that are alive and that shall remain will be caught up together with them. That's what he said. Because he was not anticipating death fully. He said to himself, I'm not sure when it will happen. That's why he said, we. And he said, some. He said, we. Probably the parousia can happen tomorrow. Who knows? Are you people get out? I'm trying to explain to you. Do you know what the parousia means? The second coming. If it happens, then everything has passed. You will not be buried 6 feet under the ground. Death is not surety for everybody. What is the surety? Change. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all. The promise that everybody will be changed. Are you seeing this now? Then what did he say about change? How does change happen? He said, but we all with open faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed. It is Jesus that transforms us. This is why Jesus said something to us in 1 John 4:17. He said, we are not scared unto the day of his coming. Because as he is, so are we. So Jesus is saying, when I come, there are some people that are going to be like me. Everybody read, want to go. Are you seeing something here? Two styles of writing in scripture. Number one is what? Nature. You read some places, you see your nature. It's written your nature boldly. What you can do as a Christian, blah, 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 blah. You read some places, it talks about nurture. How to get into that your supposed nature. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So the Bible is not confusing. You think it's a process at some point when some people write, and when you read some writings, you think you're already there. How many of you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? That's how it is. Nature and nurture. I am who God says I am. Nature. As we pray in the Spirit, we are building up our most holy faith. Nurture. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So can we continue? So as a righteous, we will inherit the earth. The dead in Christ shall be the first to put on their flesh, and where will they reign forever? On the earth. Because if God wanted man to live on the earth forever yesterday, and is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, where will man live forever on the earth? It's not the devil's head. It's the Lord's head. The earth is the Lord. The world. All right, Hebrews 12, as we round up. Now, surrounded by so a cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, right? Now, is it from 20, right? From 20. It then tells us, Paul is trying to, these are more like different adjectives for the description of a particular place. How many of you know the nickname for Makurdi? Is there a nickname for Makurdi, for instance? Markdown. Okay, another one. MKD. What's this saying? The food basket of the nation. Another one. Huh? What? Lobby. Lobby. Okay, that's another name they call Makurdi. Okay. Somebody say Markdown, somebody say Lobby, somebody say NKD, somebody say Food. Now, what do we refer? All of these things are referring to where? Makurdi. Who here has a nickname? Many people will not stand up, but some of you have nicknames in secondary school, some of you have like 4 nicknames. Huh? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, sir. Who had a nickname in primary school? Wave your hand, give God praise. Okay. You have a nickname in secondary school, wave your hand again. Alright, sense, come. You just tell me briefly what were your nicknames. But all refer to sense. So sense, what is one of your nicknames? Sense boy. Secondary school. Sense man. Wow. So sense was a boy, and now sense is a man. What of now? Sense. You are in the realm. Okay. You can sit down. So you see, he had some nicknames. Some of these people you are seeing here, you may hear Cisco Blade. Yes! Some of them here, you'll be so shocked. Sonny, what was your nickname? Come. Come and tell me. Come. Don't lie in the presence of God. Come like this. Don't turn like that. God is watching you. Angels are here. And anything you want, you receive. So what is that your nickname? That one they used to call you. Tell me. Spencer. Eh? Spencer. So what does Spencer mean? Were you dispensing things in school or consider? So you see, Spencer, for instance. Why you people are here saying Sonny? Somebody will talk about Spencer. You don't they think? Yes, who is Spencer? But Sonny will be laughing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you are here, if they come and see you the way you address some of your primary school class, they say, hey, let me John Bosco be that. Now I wear suit. Okay, there's this thing on Facebook recently. Can you remember? Is anybody named that? It's called Gadus, but that's his nickname. One people are watching the guy, another one say, See? But it will amaze you that that person's original name is not Gadus. Now that's what I'm trying to explain. Say you have all come to what? Mount Zion. Another name for the description of Mount Zion is what? The city of the living God. Another name, the heavenly Jerusalem. Another name, where there is an innumerable, for instance, there is heat in Makurdi. Do you understand? That's a way of describing where there is so much heat. You people know we top on heat. We are one of the states that top on heat. Next description. So let me write them down. It says Mount what? You will see that this one is mentioned. This first one here is mentioned. But let's just build Mount, which is also what? City of the living. We don't joke with God. The what? The heavenly Jerusalem. What again? Innumerable community of angels. What again? Huh? to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are what? You don't need to pay for your name to be registered in the book of life. Registered. You have been registered. You have come to the God, the judge of all. You see that? That's why you are not scared until the day of his coming. Then, the last one. To the spirit of God, just men. This is the same thing as this. Spirit of what? Just men made perfect is the same thing to being surrounded by what? A cloud of witnesses. Before we finish, before we explain this further, it now says you have come to what? Jesus. The mediator to the blood of sprinkling that speak better things than I have. Alright, let's dwell on this. Go to 23. Surrounded by a cloud of witness. Then it says, spirit of just men. Of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. But this spirit of just men made perfect, right now in Hebrews 12:1, they were seen as witnesses. Who are this spirit of just men that are made perfect? Who are they? Mention. Now, if you observe something, are you tired? Should I finish or will you? Let me just round up, please. Observe something at the last part of Hebrews 11. I want us to read. Last part of Hebrews 11. Can we read one to go? God haven't provided. Did you get that? That means without us, they cannot be made perfect. Go back to 23 of Hebrews 12. We're going to read. Note this down. One to go, the last part. To the spirit of just men made perfect. He didn't say to just people that have died. He said now they be made perfect. Where? In Christ. The next part now says you have come to Jesus. That means in Jesus, in the new creation, the spirit of just men are what? Made perfect. And how did they become perfect? They without us are not made complete. Meaning that the manifestation of sons is a perfection of everything they've been ever longing for from the Old Testament. Everything they've been dreaming of was fulfilled in sonship. Or is fulfilled in sonship. So the Bible said, seeing that you are surrounded by the cloud of witnesses, these guys are like, I mean, the thing has come, the standard has come in your days, folks. That's how they are talking. And God is saying, these people are not trying to interfere with what you are doing. So all those people seeing these people that are appearing to them and telling them something, they don't know what they are saying. Because these guys are supposed to just be as cloud of witnesses, cheering us up to achieve what we are supposed to achieve. The last part said, and let us run with endurance the world, the race that is set before us. What is the beginning line of that race? Verse 2. The beginning line of the race is what? Jesus. The ending part of the race is what? Jesus. So whatever they've achieved in the Old Testament and etc., it doesn't really matter. The Bible said the beginning line of our journey of faith is who? Jesus. The ending line of our journey of faith is who? Jesus. Nobody's experience and nobody's idea is the beginning and the end. Are you the guy I'm trying to explain to you? Beginning. Ending. Beginning. Ending. So if human ideology negates Christ's ideology, remove human ideology. Focus on Jesus. So what do we need to finish this race? The Bible did not say we should look unto for a man to. It did not say look for a man to. It said looking unto Jesus. Now listen carefully. Watch me. Online, offline. A mantle for on this journey is a distraction. It's what the Bible calls weight. Lay aside the weights. You know, we have people in these days looking for mantle of Elijah. It is out of ignorance. It is out of ignorance. Are you listening to me? Yes, are you here? Yes, all of these folks in the Old Testament, the fathers of faith, what are they doing now? They are cloud of witnesses. How many of you have done intersport before? You know what I'm talking about, isn't it? White house, sorry, blue house, red house, yellow house, green house. In NDA, it was Burma, Abyssinia, Dalet, Mogadishu. Burma. Abyssinia. They are cheering us. Are they entering inside the journey? What are they doing? Cheering us. Are you listening to me? Meaning the old fathers of faith, what are they doing today? They are all cheering us. And not just that. What is happening? When you are out there in the gallery, there's so much expectation. You're like, oh, woo. You know what happened with some Nigerians in the last AFCON? They died. So your heart is like, oh, you want them to, you are full of expectation. But do you know the one that will hit them the most? The thing that will make them start crying there? When you now turn to somebody in the crowd and say, give me something so that I'll run. Oh, you didn't get what I'm trying to explain to you. Now you are running on this journey and you don't lose someone. Elijah, give me your mantle, let me run. He's like, my friend, go run. Oh, you don't get what I'm trying. Go focus on the journey. What are you looking for from the crowd? Your heart should open as I'm teaching this thing, because some of you with the mantle of Elijah, you think I'm removing it from you. Your heart should be open as I'm talking to you. All of those in the days of ignorance, it's okay. That's why you were looking for mantle of Elijah. You still healed the sick. You thought it was mantle of Elijah. God was quiet in the days of ignorance. But the Bible says not anymore. There's a standard to judging everything. It's the man Jesus. Not from the cloud, but the cloud of witnesses. Focus on the journey. Who is the beginning line? Jesus. Who is the ending line? Jesus. No man's idea is. Nigerian church, if you listen to these things with the whole of your heart, the beginning of a revival will evolve. I tell you, there's something that will change this world. When Jesus said it was finished on the cross, it was finished for Satan and everybody that gets involved in Satan's activity. It was finished for them. You can't tell me the cross is not enough to finish every evil on the earth. But if you create a religion out of these spiritual things, we'll just have a loop of failure continuously from one generation to another. We are not one of the earth's religion. Are you listening to me? Why a higher kind of people on the earth? A people with the life of God on their inside. Salt of the earth. Light of the world. City on the hill. Are you listening to me? Waiting to happen to any part of the world God sends us into. God sends you into and tech world, you take over as light. There's just something about you people cannot explain. Do you know you can't help it? You must be favored. But you see, God, there are things that cannot, you know, you must be hardworking, diligent as a child of God. Then favor covers you automatically. God will not sponsor a lazy man. He will not. Because you say God has given you tech. People who don't know God are having sleepless nights to solve problem in tech. You that know God, you are sleeping. You say he giveth his beloved sleeping and bread. You are misunderstanding scripture. We're talking about solving problem here. How can we be looking for a solution and Daniels are not arising from different system? Any sons of the bond woman that are rising. Daniels are not rising. And when they rise, when these guys come into lamplight, they don't give you principles to close the door of Christianity. That's why many people think Christianity is irrelevant. But what if we come to a point where the number one tech man in the world thinks that Jesus is number one? And we are coming there already. Are you seeing what is happening? That you hear that some people are trying to sponsor homosexuality and you are the greatest in that realm, then you buy it. You buy their company. I don't know that. There's a man that I'm sure God is using yet and God will finish using fully. That's doing something like that. He hates anything lesbianism and gay. You know him, Elon Musk. You know, some people believe he's Antichrist. I don't believe so. He bought Twitter. And he said Trump should come back. He bought what they call something he bought again that I heard. What was that? I mean, it's only Twitter yet. I heard he was even thinking of buying Facebook. And they are scared of him buying it, because if he buys it, those guys will be off the market. You know what is happening, people of God? You are here just charging, because they say you should not go to America. Listen carefully. Huh? Yes, sir. In the US, this kind of old man, huh, can enter a restroom that belongs to young girls and it's not a problem. That was a law till this God-given president came on board. He may have not allowed you to have visa yet, but he's doing something for the kingdom. Please calm down. I don't know that you people are getting, because I know some of you are very angry, but we are going somewhere. At least for the fact that he has removed all those demonic laws, let's give God glory. They will allow you to go there and your children to go there, but what is coming out from your life? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? A man of God stood up one time in a school. They call it PTA meeting in Nigeria. He stood up. He said he doesn't understand why they are trying to advocate for Black Lives Matter, and the child on the cover of the magazine is a transgender child. He said, and they are giving their children clothes that Black Lives Matter, but who is on the magazine? A transgender child is the one on the cover photo. In other words, they are not telling you Black Lives Matter. There's something hidden behind that agenda called Black Lives Matter. It's the devil. I don't know that you're getting what I'm trying to say. They are covering it with racism. I'm making you fight somebody that's supposed to take you up. Because when they say black, everybody are angry. What is the achievement if a black person rules America? The first black person that ruled America was the one that signed that a man should marry a man. What is the achievement? There are many people in Nigeria that have set their children there. Their children now, they don't know their children. Because the children are wearing earrings. He has the child, the boy now has breasts. He said, Junior. He said, I'm no more Junior, I'm Jeanette. Give Satan free access. Are you going to get on trying to explain to you? And go raise another person. And you are saying the person is tough. What if what he's doing is even helping Africa? Think about it. Most times, you know, we think of our stomach too easily. It's just what we eat now, not about the future. Imagine they say no person should send their children out to US for treatment, for school, for anything. Let everybody invest in Nigeria. How do you think this country will be in 2 years? Imagine the president can only treat himself in Abuja. And know any part of the world. How do you think this country will be? And think about something. You think if God wants to help us, he will say, give them access to be Japari. You think God did not create you with the intention of you staying in this country? My destiny is not in this country. Who told you that? Why? You think it's a mistake that you grew up in Makurdi? I know some of you are saying, Pastor, it's a mistake. You have not just realized it. You think it's a mistake? So God living, because the things are taught doesn't mean it's a mistake that you are in this country. Tell somebody it's not a mistake. Say it with faith. Say it's not a mistake. You think it's a mistake that you're a thief man, an Igbo man, an Hausa man? You think it's a mistake that you came out from this family? You think it's a mistake? Will you refuse your dad to be your dad in the next life? Some people are saying yes. No. It's not a mistake. Say I'm not a mistake. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you. There are some people that have destiny in this country. Pressure has made them to Japan. And when they go there is no fulfillment because they are in the wrong world. Their destiny cannot find expression because where they are supposed to fulfill it, they have run away from the place because of pressure. But God is bringing restoration. Could it be that the restoration God is bringing has started, but we are interpreting it the wrong way? And the Lord give you understanding. See this thing prophetically. That there were times you hear somebody wants to give birth to a child, say, go rush so that you born there, becomes a US citizen. Hi, what then happened? You think God is proud that we are going to take citizenship from another place and being proud that we are US citizens while we are Nigerians? You think God is proud of that? That if they say US citizen, you are raising your hand. But if say Nigerians, eh? This is the way God likes to work. The Bible says he used the weak things of the world to confirm the wise. The stupid things of the world to confirm the wise. Some of you may never step your leg in that place, but that place will come to you. The Bible said, arise and shine. It said, for your light has come. Then it says, the glory of the Lord is what? Rising upon you. It said, behold, nations shall come nations. Nations. Then he said, kings to the rising of your light. Kings. Who told you? We've seen God raise men of God in this nation. See, you think the men of God, the white men, different countries have come. If it was not the men of God, who do you think this will come and be looking for in this country? In IPPC, Pastor Chris Conference, the whole of, almost the whole of Lagos Hotel is booked that whole season. Because of one man. They want to hear one man. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? One man. Even when they are inaugurating presidents, that kind of thing doesn't happen. One man. He did crusade in Lagos one time. The government had to beg him not to do again. That if he's looking for where to do, they'll go and find someone and make sure it accomplished. Because Goslow was in the town for 1 week straight. Cars were stuck in one place. Because of one man. And there's no influence outside God. Oh, what else is useless influence? So I want to become an influential man or man outside God. Become influential, but with Christ. How do you know you are becoming foolishly influential? You want to be influential, you are not praying in tongues. You don't like prayer. You will not become like Winfrey Ofrey. You will not become like you will not become like somebody who does not know what he's doing. Or she's doing. Some of us will not rise to that point where we say things like, God does not exist. It's love that is God. If I just tell my neighbor I like you and I kiss you on your forehead, then that's God. No, it's wind that is God. It's breeze. You must know God. They asked such a person, who is the way to the Father? She said, Jesus is one of the way. There are several other ways. Are you seeing it? Come to that point. That is why, have you ever asked yourself why CNN know the people there? The people they always invite are people that talk like them. You think when they watch me now, they'll invite me? With the way Pastor Chris is so influential in the world, CNN has never invited him. But they have invited other men of God that say Jesus is one of the ways. But not him. Because imagine they ask Pastor Chris, is Jesus the only way to the Father? He will say, wait a minute. I'm aback. You dare ask such a question? Oh, Reverend Tom, come around. Lift your hands everywhere. Take! I remember Benihin talking about this thing. He was so mad. They've never invited Benihin. Nobody has gathered a crowd in the US like Benihin. Yet, when they were looking for a man of God to invite, it was not him they chose. They were looking for their type. Tell somebody Jesus is the answer for the world today. That's why they are trying to lock him in. No, they can't lock Jesus. He's on our inside. You tell us to leave a building, he's on our inside. We'll go everywhere, we infiltrate the world. See, we have burnt our bridges. Money cannot take some of us down again. No, we're on the rock. Is it 500 billion? Take it back to your Father's house. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We know whom we have believed and we are what? Persuaded by him. So I said, everybody has a price. Not me. Not me. I've been bought with the highest price. The precious blood of Jesus. Ah, what price again is so big? They said, the allergy has 5 million for you. Esther, the allergy has 5 million for you. He said, you should come to Sky 4 and see him. Oh, Ragaba Shalabaya. Oh, they've met the Esther senior sister of the Bible. That will say, you and your allergy, go and perish. Are you listening to me? Such men and women are rising. Nations will come. Now, as you are rising like this, Satan will come. Do you know Satan didn't know that Jesus was even Jesus in the trial? He just saw a man that will not bend to anything. Because how did I know? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it said, if the enemy has known, he would have not crucified the Lord of glory. That means he crucified Jesus because he did not know that was Jesus. But he saw a man, potentials, and Satan came and said, if you are the Son of God, you see, he didn't know. If you are the Son of God, change stone to bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. You know why Jesus did not change it? Because if he had dared it, Satan would have known. He said no. Because Jesus already knew who he was. He doesn't need affirmation from human beings. Are you listening to me? You have to be full of confidence. We have not received the spirit to fear again. Do you know what have killed many people into destiny? Fear. But Jesus has given you the spirit of sound mind. Power. I am who God says I am. You go back tomorrow into that business. You do it like you heard God's voice with a trumpet. Say, do it, it will work. But the fear of the affirmation of men have kept a lot of people in one place. Are you listening to me? You are who God says that you are. You have not received the spirit to fear again. You can be the best in what you do. Many years ago, a man said the speech, said, I have a dream. I have a dream. It started with a small dream. Today we are seeing the manifestation. You can dream. Tell somebody to dream. Dream something big. That when you think about how it will work, your heart will shake. Say, can this really be? Can this? I mean, you are dead with something. Like they told Mary, you will not sleep with a man and a baby will come. What a dream. What a vision. Mary said, how can this thing be, seeing I know not a man? The angel smiled. He said, the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. He will overpower you. And you will have that holy thing. You will metamorphose from your inside. But you now, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? The greatest dream that was supposed to find expression on the earth was Jesus' birth. Knowing not a man, the Holy Ghost came upon Mary. Now, what dream do you have? What is in your stomach? What is that thing that you think you want to bet out, that you are wondering if it will work? Whatever it is, that factor that can determine it, the Holy Ghost, is in and upon you already. I don't care what dream you have. What it takes to facilitate any dream on your inside is the Holy Ghost. Tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go out until you've been endued with the Holy Spirit. Now you all are filled with the Holy Spirit. You all know that. What dream is in your heart? The Bible said God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you have, all you can ever think or imagine, according to his great and mighty power. It's time to dream, brother. Lift your hands, somebody pray in the spirit. Bow your heads, take any posture you want to take and pray. You have the Holy Ghost. He gave you an eternal dream. Dreams. Dream dreams. Dream dreams. Dream dreams. It's time to dream again. It's time to dream. It's time to dream. The Holy Ghost is already upon you. Somebody dream. The factor it takes to facilitate the dream.
The factor it takes, the Holy Ghost. Share by a concierge and a man. Share by a man, a son and a balaton and a. He's upon us. The Holy Ghost. He's upon us. The scepter of the city of God. He's upon us. He's the Holy Ghost. He's upon us. Custodians of the secret of God. He's upon us. He's God's mighty right. He's upon us, Shadadabaya, custodian of the secret of God. Are you dreaming tonight? He's the Holy Ghost. Oh. He's the Holy Ghost. Oh. Holy Ghost. Custodian of the Spirit of God. He's upon us. He's upon us. Shakakakakata. God's mighty right hand. He's upon us. Woo! He's upon us. Yes, he's upon us. He is upon. He's upon. He's upon. He's upon. He's upon me. He's upon us. Shana makananayata. He's upon us. We are. He's upon us. He's upon us. We were helpless, but now he's upon us. Incapacitated, yet he's upon us. He's upon us. We were scared, but he is upon us. We were limited, but he is upon us. Obscured, but he is upon us. Full of fear, but he is upon us. Afraid, yet he is upon us. He's upon us. God's mighty right hand. He's upon us. custodian of the secret of God. He supports. Hey, he is upon us. Ooh, he is upon us. Hey, he is upon us. Hey, he is upon us. Is the Spirit of God? He is upon us. Holy Ghost. He is upon us. He is upon us. He's upon me. He's God's mighty right hand. Mighty right hand. He is very much upon me. He's upon me. Oh, you are upon me. Mighty hand of the Lord, he's upon me. He's upon me. Custodian of the secret of God. He's upon me. He's upon me. God, he's upon me. He's upon me. I was helpless, but he's upon me. We can scatter, yet he came upon me. Afraid, but he's upon me. In despair, but he's upon me. He's upon me. God's mighty right hand. He's upon me. Custodian of the secret of God. I was sick, but his hand came upon me. His hand came upon me. And every sickness, hand came upon me. Now he's living, because his hand is upon me. He's upon me. I was in weakness, but he is upon me. He is upon me. You are upon me. Spirit of the living God is upon me. In weakness, he came upon me. When I thought small, he came upon me. He's upon me. Oh, he's upon me. He's upon me. He's upon me. Oh, Yanaba Shera Bakashera Makada Disha Dabadiata Shinamaya Kondi Alarabo Sandi by a Karediabo Sharaba Lena Maya Kane by a red. He's upon me. Jesus, you are upon me. You are upon me. when the Spirit is poured from on high, the Bible said, he said, then the wilderness will become a fruitful ground. The Holy Ghost is upon us. He's upon me. God is upon me. I was not conscious before, but now I'm. No, He's upon me. Walking with the consciousness of the hand of the Lord upon us. I know He's upon me. Maybe I forgot before, but now I know what it means for Him to be upon me. He's upon me. I know what it means for His hand to be upon me. That which I cannot do, I can now do. That which I could not do, I couldn't do it, I can now do. That which I could not do, I was so weak to do, I can now do. He told Mary that the hand of the Lord will come upon you. And all of a sudden, that dream, this impossible mission that I'm telling to you will become a possibility. We are talking about giants in this place. Lapakatabaya. Kingdom giant metamorphosing into systems of the earth. Bringing new perspective to systems. Becoming light in different facets of life. Lord, I'm that man. Lord, I'm that woman. Go ahead and pray in 1 minute. Burn like fire with your prayer. Lord, I'm available. I'm that man. Lord, I'm that woman. Go ahead. Lord, I'm that man. Yapwakata labakata. Eshananana. Ekabaya. Lord, I'm that man. Let the hand of the Lord rest upon me mightily and lead me into every part of life that I should function. Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you, yeah. You who guide me on truth, you who guide me in all truth. Holy Spirit, I love this part of the song. It says, you have opened my eyes, you have opened my eyes, Holy Spirit. Lord, we are grateful. We thank you. We worship you. Can we be on our feet? Give the Lord. Can you lift your hands in 1 minute and tell the Lord thank you? Just say thank you. Consciously tell the Lord thank you. I want everybody. I just feel we should tell the Lord thank you. From the depth of your heart, give Him praise. Tell Him how great He is. Give Him all the worship. Go ahead and tell Him. Tell Him how much you are aware that He is the Alpha and the beginning of the end of your life. Tell Him how much you've realized His hand in everything in your life.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas.
Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.